Hello, Marquette basketball fans. Welcome to another edition of The Golden Break. I'm your host, Adam Woke. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, at The Golden Break. Shout out to the production staff, Matthew, Robert, Micus, Dr. Michael, Keegan, and Jeffrey Gibellina Esquire. The show does not go without their support. Really cool night last night in Milwaukee. It was a lot of fun to celebrate with this team, and it's really nice to have Travis Diener on the heels of that celebration. We're always so grateful for his time. Let's kick it over to him. All right, we are here with Travis Diener. Travis, thank you so much. We have to talk a little bit about last night. What a special night. And this being the Golden Breakdown, I can't help but go in and break down that chug off you had with Wade last night. You know, and looking at the technique, you know, you did a great job of tilting your head back. Wade kind of kept his head straight. He didn't have a chance with that. But it looked like you guys were having an awesome time last night. What was it like?
Yeah, very, very, very fun time. I think, you know, it was the first time all players on that team were together since we lost that game against Kansas. So just a lot of memories, a lot of stories being told, a lot of laughs, a lot of jokes, just what it was like, you know, 20 years ago. It's just like, you know, it goes by so fast, but it seems like it was yesterday as well.
Well, you know, to think about it, even just through the lens of this current team, relationships, you know, those things are not momentary. They last for life. And so it had to have been cool to kind of just fall back into what, you know, 20 years ago, those relationships really sustained themselves over time.
Oh, and especially when you're on a team that accomplishes something so special. And there's a reason for that. It wasn't just that we were talented, because we were, but it was the connectivity, the cohesiveness that we had in that group. And that's something that, you know, has never wavered back then, and hasn't wavered now, even though we all live our own lives and we all have different stuff going on. You know, once we're together again, which, you know, was this summer for a golf outing and a couple days together, then last night, it's like, you know, it's like nothing ever changed, really.
It's got to be a cool feeling. I want to ask you, so it's been about a year now since you've been the executive director of the Be the Difference NIL. You know, it's a new landscape, right? And I'm kind of interested in how that job has evolved over the last year, because, you know, as you are creating new pathways and finding new ways to perform your duty, what has that job been like now, a year later?
Yeah, I mean, it's ever changing, it's evolving. You know, when I first took over, roughly a year ago, you know, it was, I don't know if I was completely bought in the idea of how this was going to look and how we were going to do things, because it was so new, and the idea of paying players just didn't feel right. And now the way we've done it is I think the best way possible and the right way. And it's creating opportunities for these kids, these student athletes, to have an impact in the community. Obviously being compensated for that, but, you know, using their platforms, using, you know, who they are as people, so that hopefully, you know, wearing that Marquette jersey, whether they play 15 years in the NBA or never play basketball again when they leave, that they always have these connections, these networks, for if something down the line they need help with, that's what we're trying to do here is just make sure they understand the importance of having an impact in the Milwaukee area.
Well, let's talk about this team. It's our first time we've gotten to talk this year, so I kind of want to get into what's your overall impression. What are some of the things you've really enjoyed about this team? What has been something that might be frustrating to you about this team?
Well, I don't think there's too much you can really be frustrated about at this point. I think early on, we lost some close games. I don't think we maybe the inexperience took over at the end of games, and how to finishing out games, and guy, you know, I think at the end of games, finding the guys that can score the ball, because it gets harder to score, you know, when it's, you know, 3-4 minutes left and it's a one possession game. But over the last, you know, I would say 4 to 5 weeks, this team plays at a high level. They play hard. They play unselfish. You know, I think it's a team that has an incredible high ceiling for what they can do the rest of the season. And I don't think it's a you know, people get in, caught up in, you know, their preseason ranking in the conference. It's just those things don't mean anything. And until you play and until you have, you know, we kind of knew what we had coming back because these guys played some last year. But other schools, you know, there's new guys coming in left and right, especially with the portal. You know, I got to see a chance to see these guys a lot this summer, work with some of the guys. And, you know, I think the staff and the players knew how good they could be. It's just been a little surprising, I think, to the outside world that, you know, just how good this team really is, because they are.
For sure. And speaking to that work you've done this summer, I know we had Tyler on a few weeks ago and he told us about a lot of the time you spent together working on his game. You know, take us through that process from your point of view. You know, what part of his game do you think grew the most from your time together?
Well, I think it's his mentality. I think last year, you know, he got a little frustrated with his lack of shooting consistently from the outside, and that in turn, you know, made him a non-scorer, made him not aggressive. And yeah, it's good to have, you know, these high assist games, but when all you're looking to do is pass, yeah, you're going to have a lot of assists and a lot of numbers. Now he's kind of combined his ability to pass, and when teams are taking that away, you know, he's shown the ability to go get a basket, and he's got great size for a point guard, and he's more confident in knocking down a shot from the outside than he was last year. I think that's all confidence. I think it's, you know, natural for a guy. And I've had it throughout my career where you know, you have some games where you don't shoot the ball well and you just got to get back in the gym and repetition. So with me and Tyler, it's, you know, I think we're very similar in how competitive we are and his hunger to be great. And it was an easy match for me to want to work with him because I do see similarities in our game. And I just thought from a basketball sense, I could help him with the mentality of it all. I mean, he's good enough. He doesn't need a lot of technical stuff. There's some things with this shot that, you know, that we tried to correct, and it looks a lot better than it did last year. But more than that, it's getting those reps in, but feeling confident when, you know, you do have an open shot to step in and just knock it down.
Well, I think especially his finishing at the hoop, you know, you look at those last, you know, couple of weeks, he has really stepped into his own and that confidence he's had at the hoop. And I remember we talked about this at the live show when we had both of you guys in the house. And we talked about that was something in the offseason that he was going to have to work on. To see him blossom lately, I mean, I said this to the production team, like, we have to start calling him a scorer. I think we've always known him as a passer and a facilitator. Everyone calls him sort of the engine of the office. But would you agree? I think it's time to also say this man's a scorer.
Yeah, no, I just think he, you can call him whatever you want. I think he's just you know, to be honest, he's a really good basketball player. And we are lucky to have him running the team. He's a great point guard. I think he's one of the better point guards in the country, and I think he's still got a long ways to go. So it's exciting. But he has the intangibles to be great that you can't really coach. He has got a high basketball IQ. He's selfless, and every single one of those guys loves to play with him because he is going to pass the ball if you're open, and he's going to get to the rock. So I think he's a dream come true for his teammates and for a coaching staff when you have a guy that's kind of running the offense that you know what you're going to get from him day in and day out.
Let's stay on player development because Tyler is not the only one that I think has made some real leaps this year. You know, we've all been extremely impressed to see a lot of these guys take giant steps, you know, but there's also too, player development to me is just interesting, right? Because everyone develops at a different rate. You know, let's take Joplin, for example. I think he still has struggled on defense, but over the last couple games, I've seen some really good stretches from him. Like I wouldn't say full games, but especially in the second half. And it made me realize, especially as watching him over throughout the course of this year, is that development is not linear, right? Like every guy is different and everyone's going to have something that might be difficult for them, a part of their game that might just take something different for them to get it. Can you talk about something that maybe in your game that took a while to come around and what you had to do to make sure you got to that point?
Well, for me, it was just just getting stronger. And I always had a hard time putting on weight and putting on muscle. So that took a while. I mean, I really didn't hit that until it was my senior year, and it was a blessing, and a blessing because I got hurt my last game of my junior year, so I missed like 4 months. So the only thing I could do was really lift and eat and gain muscle, gain weight. So that took a while, though, and it was always – I mean, I never was going to look like I was ultra strong, but I think I played a lot stronger than I looked and than I actually was. Because I had a low center of gravity, I was smart with how I put weight on people. But you're right, like people develop at a different rate, and you know, big guys naturally develop a little slower than guards. But like it in today's day and age, it's you want stuff to happen so quick, and like it takes time for guys to get better. And fortunately for Marquette, like these guys have gotten good rather quickly. I mean, you've seen, you know, Tyler obviously is taking a jump. Cam is taking a jump. Oso, I think, is one of the most valuable, maybe the most valuable player. I think he's the most valuable player on Marquette because of his unique ability and because, you know, there's not a lot of size behind him. But I think he's one of the best players in the Big East. He's, I think, going to make a lot of money playing basketball one day. Omax is taking steps. So, like, you're just seeing a collective group. And ultimately, that comes down to, yeah, Shaka does a great job. Their staff does a great job of developing, but it comes down to the player. Like during the offseason, what are you doing to get better? If you're in the gym, naturally you're going to get better. If you're not, you're going to stay on that same path of just being average.
Well, to your point about Oso and sometimes Tommy, I mean, Oso's been here for a while. I mean, if you look at where Oso started to where Oso is today, he, I think, is an important reminder for fans who might get frustrated with a guy not being able to take all those steps right now. You're right. We tend to want that quick switch. We want everyone to be great right away. And wow, Oso, right? Like, what has impressed you most about his game this year, especially, you know, fan? Not, you're not just a fan, but you've been connected with the team for a really long time. From where you saw him day one to where he is today, what just leaps off the page about him this year?
Yeah, I mean, he deserves a lot of credit because I'll be completely honest. When he first got to campus and even his second year too, I didn't see it. I didn't see that he could be this kind of player. And it's a credit to how hard he's worked. You know, he has, for a big guy, for a big guy, he has an incredible IQ. And not just for a big guy, for any basketball player. Like, he understands how to play basketball the right way. He's an incredible passer for his size. He's a great finisher. He gets those quick little floaters off, and he can catch and dunk, and he can run, and he can block shots. He's a prototypical big guy in today's game because he's so athletic. And he's obviously put on a lot of strength, which has helped. But like, he is so important to what Marquette does. And I think mostly it's because of his unselfishness as well. Like, he's a willing passer. He's got a high IQ, and he doesn't care if he scores 20 or if he scores 2, as long as, you know, he's doing what he can to help us win games.
Let's talk about Omax. I have that guy's motor is just nuts. I mean, you talk about playing to the whistle. Like, he plays so viciously up into the whistle. I mean, some of the, especially in crunch time, like, and not that he's like dogging it earlier in the game, but when there is just like this extra gear he finds in the closings of game where he's ripping the ball away from view, pulling down rebounds, willing victories. Has there been a guy in your career that you've played with that reminds you that motor that he has? And what does that do when you have a teammate that plays with that type of energy? What does that do for you as a player?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I can think of any. I mean, I've played with guys that have great motors, but he's a little unique because he's got great size. He can rebound. He can really defend. I think he's different than anyone else that we have on the roster just because of his unique characteristics. He does have a high motor, and he always plays super hard. But you know, he kind of, this group, they just all kind of complement each other so well. And he does that. He kind of does the dirty work where he's going to get some huge offensive rebounds. He's going to slash, you know, he might make a couple threes. He might get a steal and a dunk, but like, he's important. I mean, it's hard to like go through the whole team and and say, oh, this guy is more important than this guy, because I think they all just complement each other. And I think all five, especially like all five or four out of the five starters, could be like all league guys, but no one, not one of them will probably, like, it's hard to pick one of them because it all means so
much. Any guy could go off any night.
I think they've said six different guys have led the team in scoring this year. I mean, that's hard to do. And it's hard to do, especially when you got so many good players. So, but Omax has taken another step from where he was last year. You can just see the confidence in all these guys from even the beginning of the year, maybe when we weren't closing out games, to now. Like, they expect to win. The greatest thing, and I was stopped by and I talked to Shaka today. I said, you know, what was impressive is you guys didn't even play. You didn't even play great last night. And you still comfortably, I won't say comfortably. He probably didn't feel like it was comfortably, but I think no one ever thought we were going to lose that game. And for a team not to play great against another team that's the top 20 team in the country and win the game, I think speaks volumes of what this team can accomplish.
When this team isn't at its best, what do you find some of the mistakes that they tend to make?
I was talking to, what you worry about, I think, is this team is so gifted and so good offensively. I think it's, you know, one of the top few offenses in the country. So naturally, when you know you can get a good shot or get a bucket, that the other end of the floor will waver. And defensively, you kind of let your guard down because you know you can go down and get a basket. And I think that's what kind of cost them against Xavier is, you know, the first half they gave up 46 points. And second half, Marquette wasn't making shots, but they defended at a high level and kept the game close. But, you know, what cost them is they gave up 46 in the first half. So that's what I worry about, especially when you get in the tournament, is, look, you're going to have to win a lot of different ways. And I think Marquette can do that. But, you know, come March, you're going to have to get stops and consistently get stops for 40 minutes. And hopefully that, you know, that length and athleticism that we do have, you know, we just don't get complacent on that end of the floor because our offense is so good.
Yeah, you know, because I don't think this team is, like, bad defensively. I know you can look at the metrics and stuff like that. And I know, I think sometimes some of that stuff's a little overblown because this team's ability to turn someone over is one of the most deadly parts of what they can do. I think you're right. Sometimes they make those mistakes. I think they just some mental lapses. Like, I feel like it's never been, I've tried to like track defensively when they've made mistakes and it's not like one thing. It's like, this guy made a mistake here. He just didn't close out quick enough. It's not ever one thing, but it does feel like there's just the potential of mental lapse. I think it's interesting. You said you feel like something that kind of can come naturally when you're scoring the way you do.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you just, for some reason, subconsciously, maybe just, you know, I've played on great offensive teams. Our Final Four team was great offensively. I played with great offensive teams when I played in Italy, and you kind of just, you know, you can get a good shot and you're just like, okay, well, you don't mean for it to happen. You don't mean to give up baskets, but it just, guys just will take maybe the easier path on a possession, on one possession, and you give up a basket. But, you can't do that. And Marquette has the talent to be a great defensive team. And I don't know the metrics on their defense, but like when push comes to shove, they've shown the ability to get stops and they got guys that can guard. I mean, Stevie Mitchell's a great defender. Omex should be a great defender. Oso's got length. Tyler's a good defender. And then the guys that come off the bench are good defenders. So there should be no excuse for them giving up easy baskets, especially, you know, when the offense isn't going the way that we kind of seen.
I like that you brought up some of the ball you played in Italy just briefly there in offenses, because I kind of wanted to ask you, this system that I love about the offense is, you know, not only the selflessness, and we could talk about the players' relationships and selflessness and trust they have with each other, but the system itself is so rooted in fundamentals, cutting off the ball, the screen and rolls, the next pass, right? The willing to move the ball around the arc. when you think about this offensive system, does it remind you of some of that? And what about this system makes it so deadly? Because right now, like you said, we're tied. We're at least going into tonight, and that might change. We were tied for the number one offense on KenPom with Purdue. And so I think a lot of that, though, comes from the system. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a combination. I don't think the offense looks as good if you take Tyler, if you take Oso out of it, only because those guys are so willing passers. And when you move the ball from side to side, it's so important because it creates closeouts and it creates space. And Marquette does an incredible job of having space. And then Tyler will get downhill, you know, do a nice little bounce pass to Oso or Florida, or Cam will use his ability to score. And I think the spacing and the ability to pass, the system is set up perfectly. And then you put these players into it and it looks like a juggernaut. I mean, this offense is really fun to watch because they share the ball and they're not afraid to kick it up in transition. Tyler does a great job of that. It's, you know, some point guards hold on to the ball too long and don't want to give it up. For the most part, if you could take away maybe some turnovers here and there, some bad shots, maybe some shot selection shots. I mean, this offense is very hard to guard.
One potential Achilles heel for this team is rebounding. And I kind of want to ask it like this. I've seen a lot of different theories out there about this team and their ability to rebound and what it means. And I've heard people talk about, you know, the screen and roll game because there's a lot of switching that we can do that we do, or because we double in the paint, we tend to leave a rebounder open. Do you think this defensive scheme sometimes just is going to leave them naturally open to the other team getting some offensive rebounds? Or do you think that's kind of hogwash and this has got to be about the focus? Cause I don't think we question this team's effort. These guys play their asses off, but sometimes it's just that like focus to stay through the possession when the shot goes up.
Yeah. I think it's a little bit of both. I think, you know, they play so hard and they create a lot of turnovers. So, I mean, that's what they do. And so maybe they're out in the passing lanes a little more, but then, you know, as you see, even last night, Providence is a very physical team. The guy Hopkins is an animal. So, you know, when he's getting the ball in the post, especially on guys that are a little smaller, we're coming with a double team. It's, you know, obviously leaving guys open, then it's leaving a guy to crash to the offensive rebounds and grab an offensive rebound. So obviously I'm sure it's a point of emphasis for Shock and his staff, but it's also the way they play. It's going to leave them a little vulnerable at times to offensive rebounds. So that's why creating turnovers is so important for Marquette defensively, because if you're not creating those turnovers, and these guys are getting shots up on the glass, we have shown that we're not a very good defensive rebounding team, that it just creates more opportunities for the opponent.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I feel like that's sort of been when I talk about some of the turnovers, for every offensive rebound we give up, we give them an extra possession. But for every extra possession we can generate by stealing from them, right, it can kind of compensate for that. And so the more aggressive, because last night I thought they were really aggressive in forcing turnovers. And Shock even said in his post game that, you know, they really went after them in this game. That aggression is going to be important to sustain throughout the course of the year. Do you think at any point we will see these guys get tired as we get into February? Like, do you worry about legs at all with this team? And I don't know what practices look like, and coaches tend to change things, right, as they get a feel for how much these guys have been running and stuff like that. But how do you feel about their legs?
Yeah, man, I think it's always a worry with every team. You know, it's a long season. You know, they've been practicing since the middle of September, or whenever it is. Maybe it's October. I don't know. 40 days before the first game, but
it's a lot.
it's a lot. And now we're getting into late January. And then obviously we got about 6 weeks left or so, or a little more. But it's like, you know, you hope that, you know, and we're young. So I think, you know, naturally mental fatigue could set in more so, I think, than physical. I think those guys do a great job of monitoring, you know, how they're feeling. I know, like, for instance, today they're probably not doing much on the court because, you know, they'll leave tomorrow and they'll play on Saturday and then they got a week off. So I think there's built in rest times for these guys. So I hope that, you know, you know, I just would never want anyone to use that as an excuse because everyone's going through it. You know, every team is going to play the same amount of games. You know, we do play, you know, it's not like we're playing six guys, you know, 8-9 guys are getting a shot to play, you know, extended minutes. So, you know, and winning helps. Winning keeps you fresh. Like we've seen it over, you know, we saw it a little bit last year towards the end of the year. You start losing some games and it gets frustrating. Maybe then you feel tired. We saw it, you know, with some of the teams at the end of Wojo's tenure too. Is like, I don't know if it was so much fatigue. Maybe it was more mental fatigue than physical fatigue, but if you can consistently keep winning and not every game, but like avoid that 2-3-4 game losing streak where that mental fatigue of getting beat down can kind of enter your mind.
I need to ask you your perspective on reffing. You know, there is, I'm glad you're laughing already. You know, there's a, I don't know. I always go back and forth on this. Like I can understand there are some games, especially that first Providence game with like what the 43 free throws that they had. Like it's really hard to not get really angry about that. But I also have sometimes a hard time, you know, saying that we've lost a game because of reffing. But I want to ask you actually what your perspective is on that, because I think good teams, the really, really good teams, they get through those nights when the ref is just not calling things their way. Do you think that there is the occasional game where refs are going to steal one from it and there's nothing you can do about it? Or what can teams do in those situations? They're not going to get a whistle.
Yeah, I don't think refs will ever. I mean, we want to say it as maybe I wanted to say it as a player or fans, like, gosh, the refs are terrible. They cost us the game. But I don't know if there's a lot of truth to that. Obviously, there's calls in the game that are horrible. Players make horrible plays too. But like, you know, for example, that Providence game, yeah, they shot a lot of free throws, but were they the more aggressor? Probably in that game. So do they deserve to get more calls? The aggressor always gets more calls. And, where there's some unfortunately bad calls against Marquette for sure. But like last night, if you watch the game and you're closely, you know, the Providence staff wasn't very happy with the officiating, but I think that's, I mean, I thought Marquette for the most part was the aggressor in that game. So I think you make your own breaks and that comes with refereeing too. I think if you are playing hard and you're playing aggressive defense, attacking on offense, that you'll get the benefit more so than not from the whistle. And yeah, do I think there's some refs out there that aren't very good? Yeah, of course. But I think as players and as coaches, no one's going to come out and say, well, you know, this guy cost us this game because of this one call or these two calls. I just think there's so many possessions in a basketball game to strictly blame an official for a win or a loss.
Before I get you out of here, I got to ask you about your thoughts on the young guns. I have been overly impressed with Chase, Ben Gold, and Sean Jones. I mean, I feel like their ceilings are so high. What are some of the things that really stand out to you about those three?
Yeah, hard not to get excited. I think the energy that especially Sean and Chase play with is great for freshmen. I think they're great defensive players. Sean should be one of the better on-ball defenders in the country with his size, his strength, his explosiveness. And Chase is a great athlete as well. And they've both shown – those two have both shown signs of having key stretches of scoring the basketball for us as well, which has been key. And then Ben Gold is going to be a really good player. You know, obviously he's a freshman. He's a big. It's going to take him some time. He's a little frail right now. Once he gets a full off season of gaining weight, he can shoot the ball from the outside. He can drive it. He can, you know, he's more athletic than people think. He should block a lot of shots. So I think he's an intriguing player for the future. And I mean, he's still going to have moments this year where he's going to come up with some big plays. So to have three freshmen that are playing minutes in valuable games is important for their growth and important for the future of Marquette. And that's the scary thing for, you know, opponents is this team is relatively young for the most part. You know, now you never know with what might happen, obviously, with transfers and all that. But, you know, it's a bright, bright future that Marquette is looking at right now.
Travis, congratulations on the anniversary. Thank you for bringing so much joy to a lot of the fans when we were back in school. It was great to relive that, and we're always very appreciative of your time.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. Anytime.
Thank you so much to Travis Diener for coming out and spending time with us. Again, so grateful for your time. We got another big game Saturday, and then we got a week off, and we have a big guest coming on next week. So make sure you follow us on Twitter at The Golden Break. We do our very best to bring good, solid content to the greatest fans in college basketball. We out!